All right, we're in John chapter 8, verses 21 through 30. I'm going to get my wireless real quick while you're turning into your Bibles there, your pew Bibles, or hopefully you're still using those journals. Those journals, if the Lord is speaking to you, and I believe that He is, jot those down, jot those notes down. Later on, when life is hard and you're looking for some promises to hold on to, you can go back and look at those words and drive real comfort and encouragement from them. So John chapter 8, it's a tense bit of real estate, for sure. On one end, depending on the version that you're reading, hopefully ESV, somebody's about to get stoned. And at the end of John chapter 8, Jesus is about to be stoned. So there's a lot of stoning going on in John chapter 8, or about to be, which is probably pretty tense for anybody. But sandwiched between those two confrontations is the study that we're in today, largely. It's a conversation between Jesus and these religious people, these religious Jews, who thought that they had some kind of in because of the religious program they were born and raised into. Now, there's a connection there between them, the people that John was writing to some 50, 60 years after the events in this narrative took place, and there's a connection to us. We don't come into this world with any special Christian advantage other than inclusion in the covenant community and a weekly exposure to the Bible being preached, weekly being every week, not weekly as in hopefully there's the Lord's empowering this Bible for us today, for just the preaching of it. But we have to listen and believe in the good news in order to be saved. You have to hear it preached. You have to believe on it, rest in that belief in order to be saved. So let's read about that today. John chapter 8, verses 31 through 47. You're probably a little bit confused. Let's stand together and read this word together. I don't know if there was an asterisk in the bulletin. We'll fix that. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father." They answered him in verse 39 here, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the things or the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did." They said to him, "We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God." Verse 42 says, Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? Is it because you cannot bear to hear my word? You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God." This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Please be seated. You know, the other day, I don't know if it was this week. I think it was this week. I was in my office. I don't think it was here. I was at the house. And I started to worry. I worry sometimes because when I'm in the book of John, paragraph at a time, and I'm really kind of drilling down on a paragraph, and I'm trying to really understand what's being said and what church leaders through the centuries have said about some passage. Sometimes I worry that I'm drilling down too close, or I'm too much in the weeds. Am I really preaching the gospel? Only to find out this week that all I ever do is preach the gospel. That relieved me a little bit, but it made me think more about application. So today we're going to get into a little bit more application. But perhaps it's beyond what was intended. In other words, there's a message here in this narrative that is kind of for those, more for those who hear the word of God all the time, but it has no effect. People that look religious, but the word of God has no effect. It doesn't do anything to them. And how awful a position that is. So a lot of the application has to do with them, because that's where we're at in the scriptures. So the main point I want you to take home today, and by the way, also I meant to tell you, first of all, I'm a little bit remiss, probably by a whole year and a half, 2 years. Like in this, so I do a sermon outline which has main points and an outline and study questions. Up to this point, the study questions have all been about just the scripture itself. But I really pored over these questions. So I hope that they really cause you to drill down not only into what I'm preaching to you, but the word of God also. So take a look at those, please. But anyway, the main point that I have for you, the main takeaway for today, is that the trouble with religious people who don't know Jesus is that they cannot perceive the liberating good news of salvation. Religious people who don't know Jesus, they cannot perceive the gospel. And because they can't perceive it, they don't believe in it. Because they don't believe in it, they're not saved. No matter how religious they look. Only those who hear the truth and are enabled to receive it by faith find freedom in Christ. It's only by grace are we saved through faith. Amen? My sermon today discusses 3 points that kind of drive this home. And the first of those points is that religious people, like everybody else, are born spiritually blind and deaf. You are born blind and deaf, and so are religious people. Largely, we see things and thus perceive some truth about them, or we hear some things and we perceive some truth about what we hear. So largely, perception is based on your senses, your sight, your hearing, and your other senses. Spiritual perception comes only when we are regenerated by the grace of God through faith and are enabled to see and hear what the gospel is saying. What the Bible says about your salvation can only be revealed to you by the Holy Spirit and the grace of God. Do you believe that? You can't read this Bible enough to get the truth all by yourself. It has to be revealed to you by the Holy Spirit and the grace of God. Jesus had been speaking to the crowds and many believed. Well, who believed? Who was in this crowd? There was probably some tourists. There's been tourists going to Jerusalem, just like we're going to Jerusalem next June, God willing. And that's how it was then. There were proselytes. Proselytes were, Jesus talked about the Pharisees going over, how did he put it? You'll go over land and sea to convert one person and make him twice the son of hell that you are. So Jesus had a way of saying things. But there were probably some proselytes there. There were certainly Roman soldiers all around. But this crowd was largely Jewish. Sukkot, which was the Feast of Tabernacles, was a requirement for Jewish males to come 3 times a year to the temple. So they were there. And so, but you also had these Jews. Now, whenever you're reading in the book of John and you see the word Jews, think religious people. It may not necessarily be priests, they may not necessarily be Pharisees, but they're just observant religious people. You with me? Most of the people in that crowd were Jewish. Most of the people in that crowd were Jews. So when John says the word Jew, he's talking about a next level. What did he say to them? So verse 30 says that many believe because of the words that Jesus said, which is really interesting in of itself, because the first 5-6 chapters, it was signs that Jesus did that caused people to believe. But now, it's the things that Jesus is saying is causing people to believe. Romans 10:17 says, how does it say it? Our faith comes from what we hear, and hearing by faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. It's Jesus is saying these things, and it's igniting faith. The Holy Spirit is igniting faith in people's hearts and lives. Now he's talking to Jews. He's talking to religious people in this crowd. He says, if you abide in my word, you truly are my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus isn't saying, as long as you do the things that I'm telling you to do, you will abide. He's saying that the people who do abide in him will do these things. People that abide in him, people that hold fast to him, the Greek word, originally Greek word for the abide is menete, which means to hold fast. Jesus says, if you hold fast to the truth that I've given you, this will characterize your life. You will know the truth. You won't be taken in, you won't be duped by false teaching. You will, and the truth will make you free. You will truly be his disciples, Jesus said. Now, that holding fast, wow, when I read that in this Greek lexicon, that really got me in my Navy DNA. The Navy's in my DNA. It's true. It's 100%. It's literally true. Some of us are literal and metaphor people, but I'm firmly believing that the Navy's in my DNA. But anyway, holding fast means that you take this line that's mooring the ship to the pier, and you hold fast to it. You don't let it go. You don't loosen it. You don't pull it. You just hold it tight. A ship is moored to a pier with six pairs of lines, 12 lines. And these line handlers, they take these lines in concert. In other words, there's six teams, and they hold their lines, they pull their lines, and they bring a ship into the pier, kind of like the way you tighten up your shoelaces. And that's how they bring it in. And so they work in concert. And so sometimes they're holding fast. Sometimes they're pulling. Sometimes they let go. It just depends on the concert, how to get that ship in. Their ship is pulling against current and wind and so forth. So sometimes they'll lose it. Sometimes they'll bring it in. Sometimes they'll tighten it. But the idea is to bring that ship in a way that makes sense. They hold fast. We are to hold fast to the truth of God's word. Okay? He's telling these Jews, if they do that, they will be his disciples, they'll know the truth, and they'll be set free. But they were holding fast to something different. They were holding on to their old perceptions. They were holding on to their own religion. Jesus, his gospel that he was preaching, was like an adornment on the religion they already had. So they showed their lack of perception. Remember I said that a religious people who don't have Christ are going to be blind and deaf. So it's a lack of perception they had. They said, we are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? I was so gratified. I was reading about this week, and I was reading some John Calvin commentary, and turns out he and I had the exact same thought when we first read this verse. They said they were never enslaved to anybody, that they were a free people. But I mean, you could throw a rock and hit a Roman soldier. Of course, you'd be crucified for it. But I mean, that's kind of what would happen. And before them was the Greeks, and before them was the Persians, and before them was the Babylonians. They were and they went into captivity because of sin and idolatry. But somehow that was missing on them. But have you ever noticed, so let's bring this kind of in to our time today, our time now. Have you ever known a religious person who looked the part of a Christian but secretly were not believers at all? Or how would you know? How would you know if a person was really a believer? Sometimes it's hard to know a fake religious person. The only way to really know is fruit in a person's life. I've been in a church where preachers talked about everything else but Jesus. And it's a scary place to be. But it's not just about preachers. No, sir. The Jews, so when Jesus was contending with people in Jerusalem, you had Pharisees, you had priests, you had scribes. That was one group. Then you had the Jews, these religious, they were kind of at a higher level religiously maybe than the normal crowd. Those of you, when we go to Israel next summer, I'm going to point this out to you. The people that live down in Tel Aviv look nothing like the people that you're going to see in Jerusalem? Nothing, but they're all Jews. You'll see it, and you'll get it. You remember this, what I'm talking about, when we go there. This is not about judging anybody. Anybody with eyeballs can see this, can see the difference. But, you know, my mother, her husband, this is talking about, it's about fruit in a person's life. That's how you really know if somebody is a Christian or not. You don't control their salvation. You don't make them saved. You just see the effect of salvation in someone's life that's genuinely saved. My mother, my dad passed away in 2010, and she remarried sometime later, and her husband planted fig trees. We never had fig trees before. He planted fig trees in our yard. And it seems like last year, I don't know what happened. I went home and I saw that there was leaves all over the fig trees, but there was no fruit at all. Where there had been fruit the year ago around the same time. And I mentioned it to him. I'm like, what happened to the figs? And he didn't know. It was something, for whatever reason, it didn't produce anything. It produced something this year. But a religious person, like a fig tree with no fruit on it, looks the part, but there's no fruit. They'll talk about anything but Jesus. You'll look like they're the part, but Jesus won't be center stage. Jesus is not center stage in the things that they talk about, the things that their ethos, what drives them internally. Jesus won't be there. It'll be other things. It'll look religious, but not really be connected. And why is that? My second point talks about it. Religious people are born spiritually enslaved. Because they're spiritually enslaved, they are blind and deaf to the gospel. This enslavement is to sin is the root cause of this blindness and deafness, this root cause of this perception problem. Back in the ancient times, they would have slaves that would be on these ships, and they would be rowing. The slaves, all they knew was the back of the person in front of them, and that was their perception, was limited to just the person's back in front of them. When a person is enslaved by sin, they may look the part, but they won't see the things of God. Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3 that unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Although he had told Jesus that we know you're from God because nobody could do the things you're doing unless God had sent them. You can be duped in your own deception, thinking you're a religious person, thinking that you know something about the Lord. But if he's not really transforming you from the inside out, you don't know anything at all. Paul said the same thing in this slavery motif is said vividly in Romans 6, 16. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. Real slavery isn't being enslaved to the things of society, or it has nothing to do with skin color. It has nothing to do with any of that. It has to do with who you are serving. You're either serving yourself, or sin, or the devil, or you're serving God. You have no autonomy at all. Do you understand? The autonomy, it gets thrown around, the word autonomy gets thrown around all over the place. But there's not a soul on earth, there's not a single person on earth who has autonomy, who is a law unto themselves. God is the law. His word is the law. Not rules and regulations, that's not what I'm talking about. The God that who preserves this whole cosmos, who has the whole world in his hands, the whole galaxy is balanced in his hands. It's his word and his law that maintains all of that. Not anybody's opinion, not anybody's cancellation, not any mob anywhere. The trouble with religious people who don't know Jesus is that they're blind and deaf and they're enslaved. But that's anybody. But what makes that problem worse for religious people, for a religious person, I'm talking about a supposedly Christian religious person, is that they hear the gospel week after week after week. Jeff, we're tired of hearing the gospel. I've been in a place where preachers didn't talk about Jesus, credited power in some man, in some man's table. There's never going to come a day where I'm going to come up to this pulpit and not glorify the risen Son of God. It's just never, ever, ever going to happen. I'll work on my application a little bit. I'll work on transition statements. I'll do all that. But if you think you're going to come here and hear something other than the gospel, then there's plenty of churches that you can go to. I love you, but that's just how it is. Many are convinced they're good with God. I had a bad experience over the weekend. That's kind of warm a little bit. Maybe they're convinced they're good with God. People that are religious, maybe they're convinced they're good with God. Maybe they're confident they're good with God. But the problem is that this confidence is not based on the gospel. It's not based on the Bible. It's not based on the foundation of the Word of God that created this world and sustains it and holds it in balance. They say, my mother was a Christian, or my dad was a Christian, or my fill in the blank was a Presbyterian, this or that. That's what people say. Your religious affiliation alone cannot save you from sin. Nor can it open your eyes and ears to the gospel, nor can it make you aware of the slavery that's inside of your own life. But what's all this come from? We're blind and we're deaf and we're enslaved, those of us who are religious who don't have Jesus. But where does it really come from? What's the root? What's the true root? If you're a religious person this morning and you don't have Christ, you are a child of the devil. That's right out of the scripture. We're just like our parents. Sometimes that's good and sometimes it's bad. The way we know we're like our parents is how we act, the things that we do. You see, people, my pastor in San Diego, he used to say this all the time. He said, children are like, tape recorders. Back in the day, before disc and before we could download music, we had these things called tape recorders. And a child is on record mode for the first 12, 13 years of their life. And then they're on playback mode from that point forward. So if you want to know, just see a child 12, 13 years old and over, and you'll see how you were. How they were brought up. We see how our kids act, and sometimes that we say the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. I always say this, my son Levi's in the back, when he's clever, when he's smart, it's because of Candy's part in that. But when he's like me, it's because of me. And Levi, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to embarrass you. I love you very much. But it's 100% true. In verses 29 through 47, Jesus goes back and forth with these same Jews who are convinced of their own hereditary self-righteousness. Jesus said, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works that Abraham did. You would be doing the things that Abraham did if you indeed were his child. Now, Jesus told them, I know that you came from Abraham. You can tell by looking at a Jew today that they are Jews. You can. That's nothing. There's figures that make them unique. So you can tell. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. If you did the things that Abraham did, you would gel with me, is what Jesus is saying. Now, when I read those works, I had to do a double take at first, because Abraham did some really crummy stuff. He prostituted his own wife, Sarah, to save his skin and then profited off of it. You can read that yourself. That's not something that Jesus was talking about. He's not talking about that. But what Abraham did that was right was take God at his word. Abraham took God at his word. Genesis 15:6 says, and he believed the Lord and he counted it to him as righteousness. Abraham took God at his word. These Jewish leaders were not taking Jesus at his word, although it was God the Son who was telling them the very same thing that God had told Abraham all the way back in those days. He's saying to these so-called children of Abraham is that if they were truly his descendants, they would believe the very God who was speaking to them, as Abraham had believed in his day. And then these religious Jews pushed back again. They claimed divine pedigree. That was kind of interesting too, because a lot of my adult life was spent in Japan, and the Japanese, they claim a divine origin, particularly the emperor. claims divine origins. I was just thinking about that when I was reading these words. These Jews claim to be divine or from divinity. They said, we are not born of sexual morality. We have one Father, even God. But then Jesus' response, he pushed back again. He says, if God were your Father, you would love me, you would hear me and understand me. That's what Jesus said. If you were of God, or if you were born of Abraham, you would understand the things that I'm saying. What Jesus is really saying, again, he's recapitulating, he's reiterating the same truth that he's always said, is that if you were, the only way you can really see the kingdom of God is if you were born again. If you are given spiritual eyes to see the truth, is the only way you can see the truth. Otherwise, you're blind, you're deaf, and you're enslaved in your sin. A true mark that you, no matter how religious you may seem to yourself or to others, is if you cannot bear to hear God's word preached to you, then it could be a sign that your father is the devil. I've just seen preachers just go like a revolving door, not even crack open the Bible. Another true mark of how religious is you may seem to yourself and others is if you stand in the way of the gospel, either setting yourself free or your children free or some other person free, your father might be the devil. He's saying that to these religious Jews. He said in another gospel, and I don't remember if it was Luke or Matthew. I think it was Luke or Matthew. He's talking to the Pharisees in another place. He says, you stand in the way of the gospel, and you don't believe it, and you refuse other people to come in and to receive that word. If you're standing in the way of other people hearing the gospel, either by your witness or lack of witness, or your friends and love, or your friends in social circles who don't even know you're a Christian, then ask yourself if you really believe in the gospel, or if you're standing in the way of other people believing the gospel. Jesus said of the devil or of Satan, he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Our original parents, they believed a lie and suffered death for it. When you dilute or reject outright the truth of the gospel in your own life and the life of others, ask yourself if your spiritual father is the devil or if it's God. Ask yourself, are you just uncomfortable with sharing the gospel because you're not really sure of all the different parts to it? Or if you just don't believe it? You don't have to have a seminary degree to tell somebody what Jesus has done in your life. Do you really? Hopefully you don't think that. You don't have to have a degree to tell somebody, this is what Jesus did for me. And I'm so thankful. Were it not for him, I don't know where I'd be. And the whole time I've been in seminary, I don't know that anybody has ever said that. So you don't have to go to seminary to do that. You don't. This is what Jesus did for me. And he can do the same for you. What's truly scary about this story is that their judgment as the children of the devil was as sure as his, which is finalized by these words of Jesus. Because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Whoever is of God hears the words of God. If you are a religious person this morning and you believe in Christ, it's because the Lord opened your ears to hear his word. He opened your eyes to see his word. And it's by his grace and his mercy alone that that's true for you. So I want you to be encouraged this morning. I've come down pretty hard, and a lot of it just has something to do with what I experienced this weekend. And if you'd like to know about it, we can talk after church. So that's part of my passion today. It's not something I plan to... But I want to encourage you this morning. I want you to be encouraged. If you hear the words of God and you believe on them, then you are no longer blind and deaf, as some religious people are. You're no longer enslaved to sin, as some religious people are. And you're no longer a child of the devil, as some religious people are. But you are a child of God. Go out and live like his child. Be like him. Amen.